Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to our Flesh Wound Horror Masters of Horror special. I'm Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya, Pugs Dread, and Kruger. How goes it, gentlemen?
Well, apparently we're doing easy talking Flesh Wound Radio tonight.
Yeah, why are you talking like that, bro? Yeah.
It's soothing, like late night radio. It's like,
dude, and nothing about you is soothing.
It's not soothing, it's grooming.
Yeah. That's like the version, like you can listen to like an audiobook like on a long drive.
You know what, Dan, for Halloween, I'm going to give you a short story. You have to read the entire thing in your sexy voice.
Oh, is it like erotic fiction or something?
Well, now it's going to be. I was just going to make you read a Halloween story.
FBI fucking looking.
Burgundy Road.
We'll find you some Bigfoot fan erotica.
Oh, there you go.
It exists, and it is hilarious.
No one thought it didn't exist, but I know you're a fan. So there you pick your favorite. Your favorite, like, little chapter, what do we call it? Passage, whatever.
We'll make that happen. We will make that happen on the next Sasquatch show. You will get a live After Dark reading by Dan.
We may be on the Masters of Horror.
On to Masters of Horror. All right. So this series meant a lot to me when they popped up, because it was like, oh my God, I'm going to get all of my favorites making stuff that probably wouldn't have made it as like a 90-minute feature. So I was always stoked. I was heartbroken when it was canceled. We'll start right from the beginning, the first three. But the first episode was Incident on and Off a Mountain Road from director Don Coscarelli. And this one, while driving at night along a lonely road through the mountains, Ellen gets distracted by her radio and hits a car parked on the road. She faints and looks for help since her car does not start again. Then she meets Moonface pulling a woman in the woods. He's a deranged monster-like man that collects human bodies. She is abducted, but she recalls the survival lessons from her husband as she faces and fights back against the killer. All right, so I still remember when this debuted. I was so excited for it, and knowing all the directors. Big Coscarelli guy, big Phantasm guy.
Well, shout out to Mick Garris for getting this whole, that's his show, so he's responsible.
And we should also mention it's the 15th anniversary, which is a good reason as any to revisit the series.
That, and also the fact that we've lost so many of these masters of horror. There's not a lot.
I don't think that was the catalyst, but thank you for putting the gloom on what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, thanks for being fucking depressing. Also, I've never seen any of these.
Yeah, all this stuff. Dan,
yeah.
Do we need to do take three?
Dan just wanted to push his way through, said, I'm going to talk about what they mean to me, not for anybody else, motherfucker. Fuck you.
I was getting there.
We're already talking about the first episode.
Didn't throw it to anyone else. All right,
my bad.
Let them know that it started from dinners. All these guys are just hanging out and like, oh, we can make this. Nick Garrett's like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
So now that we're caught up,
but this is
Kruger.
And this is Kruger's first time watching the series. We're going on the ride with him.
Absolutely. What did you think of episode one?
The first episode I thought was good in some aspects. Like, I was like 50-50 on it. I really liked all the stuff with Moonface, but there was this other part of the story that was going on too, about, like, you know, her, our main character and her husband and all of that stuff. And, I wasn't really a big fan of any of those parts, but Moonface was awesome. And Angus, Scrim is the crazy old man. He saved it for me. Like, that's the one thing that saved the whole episode for me, was that.
I was quoting him, I remember, after this episode. It's like,
you want some candy? Yeah, but the kids have heard it before, Dan.
they try and do sexy things. He doesn't.
Yes.
They were bad girls. Yeah. Oh, man. I was going to say, though, I actually did enjoy Freaky Links, Todd.
I did. Why is it coming to me? I've always loved that show. So I don't understand why you're telling me.
And also, he's a survivalist, not really a...
Freaky Links, Todd. All right. You didn't get it.
I understand the Ethan Embry thing, but why are you specifically saying it to me?
God damn it, Dan.
I'm so confused.
Think about it, because I'm surprised you don't get it. But that's I'll explain. But
are you going to explain right now?
Ethan Embry's.
What did you think of the episode?
No. You can't just drop something on us completely ignored that we don't understand.
Elaborate.
Ethan Embry is in Freaky Links. He's also in this episode. What are we missing?
He is.
Oh, the one rape scene. That totally slipped my mind. Yes.
This is the greatest episode ever.
I was more concerned about him being a survivalist, but yes, he does take advantage of that girl. His wife. Yeah. That doesn't make it right.
I'm just going to shut up so I don't get in trouble.
I realized watching this episode, do you know what else? Small but iconic role the lead actress was in. You may or may not recognize it. It's something Todd hates, but I love.
Grimm?
She was the Deuce Bigelow girl that dips her shirt in the tank and has the wet shirt.
Good for her.
Just memorable. You don't like Deuce Bigelow, but I'm just
sorry.
Moonface.
Moonface is fucking awesome. He's got the grill that was big at the time. He's got a cool knife, got a jacket. He's, as far as we know, a non-Silva, Silva character, but he looks like a creeper, but, you know, less creepy, more violent.
Mm-hmm.
I dug him like evil powder. you know what? I wonder if he did. This was a jab at fucking Victor, if that's the case.
Powdered in steroids.
Yeah, and he got the creeper jacket. That's a badass. Anger Scrim rules. He was the best part of it. I agree.
What would you say he was, or who was he to Moonface?
He was, wasn't he another capture?
That's what I thought.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, because he kept pretending to go to sleep every time he was in the room.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's definitely like a connection there. I mean, she's getting away. She's getting away.
He's his alarm. I'm like, hey, check this bitch. <leaving."> the survivalist husband was kind of an asshole. Well, actually, a really big fucking asshole by the end.
Timely.
Isn't it, Dan? I know you want to join them in patrol. When this first came out, I was stoked. I was over the moon. I'm like, all my heroes are getting together and they're coming out with this cool series, and it's a good way to kick it off. You got Coscarelli kicking ass. Overall, fuck yeah, I like it.
I'm with you. I did really like the first one. I felt it was a good first one out the gate. I am gonna be a Dan and bring up the wrestling connection.
God damn it,
I have to though, because Don Coscarelli used to always go to XPW, and that was it. He just used to Supreme used to tell me about that. RIP, and just a little interesting footnote that he was a wrestling guy.
I didn't know that.
I've told him that really before, cool. But anything else? And now I blew Dan's mind. I'm sorry. Back to the best. I was a really big fan of this one. It definitely set the tone for the series. I don't think it's the best, but I also don't think it's the worst. But it was a good kickoff because, I mean, if you think of it now, if you're watching them as a feature, a lot of these are going to probably be a little bit more lacking. But for a weekly anthology show or monthly, excuse me, it delivered something. I mean, I think – well, we'll get to the track record when we're done because I'd honestly like to compare it to Into the Dark when we're all done. Just see what everyone thinks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I really like Ethan Embry. Of course, Angus Scrim. I mean, my God. I thought this was this was a great debut. It's a fun slasher. It's unique. You don't know too much about him. I would have liked to have seen more of Moonface. We never really got a sequel episode, which would have been
interesting. No, I was going to say, I know the part, I know Krueger wasn't a fan of like the setting it up, but I think if like you lost the whole survivalist aspect, then our complaint would all just be like, why is she beating his ass? That's bullshit.
Like, you're next.
I think that's the only reason that it works, even if it's not the best part. I mean, other than one part, but I get why they did it and the way it's laid out.
Like the name Moonface here. It reminds me of that McDonald's dude that used to fucking freak me out.
Oh, Matt tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the name?
Well, I don't know. His commercial was Mac Tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say I couldn't recall that in the McDonald's lore.
Well, I knew this commercial. Maybe I'll just cut it in. Maybe I'll just cut it in right here.
It does make sense why.
Except Dan started talking too quick, but.
Oh, sorry. My bad, Todd.
I was going to do something cool, but now you ruined it.
You still can.
Well, do something cool.
I don't know. I'm just fucking with them.
Best episode ever. All right. So, episode 2. Now, this one I'm really looking forward to talking about. This is Dreams in the Witch House, which is Stuart Gordon's season 1 entry. And this one follows a graduate student questions his sanity after he rents a room in an old boarding house, which was the residence of a 17th century witch. And he figures out that evil forces still roam within its walls. All right. I'm a huge Lovecraft guy, not just movies, but just Lovecraft novels as well. This is certainly not a proper adaptation of, you know, his writing, but then again, most of the movies are not, if we're being real. I like this. First off, Ezra Godden in the lead role didn't do a lot of movies, but he was also the lead in Stuart Gordon's Dagon, which I love. Dagon, definitely get the Blu-ray if you guys don't have that. This is some nice gratuitous nudity in this. I like this episode a lot. I don't know if it holds up the same way that it did in my head as when I first saw it, but I still like it quite a bit. I have more to say, but I won't stroke this one before you guys get a chance, or maybe not. What did you think?
Because we're afterthoughts on this show, definitely.
Yeah, like none of us fucking ever been able to talk about shit.
I'm a geek for this show.
What? I know, because we didn't even rate anything. So now we're just going to pick our favorite of the three.
I was going to ask if we were. Well,
they should have done that before we were on the show. Yeah, we'll just pick our favorite of the three, right? Too much show for Dan.
Too much
show. Okay.
But anyways, I'm pretty sure it's my turn, right, Dan? Or do you have any more to say? Okay, I'm a big Stuart Gordon fan, big H.P. Lovecraft fan. Was very excited for this because I've seen a lot of Stuart Gordon stuff, and I love all of it. Like, From Beyond is one of my absolute favorite horror movies of all time. We're talking, like, top 20. This one was good. I really enjoyed it a lot. I liked the soundtrack. Had, definitely a good Lovecraft feel. And there were some disturbing scenes, especially towards the end, that went places I didn't think it was going to go. And I'm appreciative of that. That was a very well-done story. There's a cool homage to a couple of other Lovecraft stories in there. Like one of them, The Rats in the Walls. There's a pretty big part of that story is kind of intertwined in this. And I really love this one. I like this one a lot more than I like the previous one done by Don Coscarelli.
Hell yeah.
Hey, what say you?
Well, I was excited for this movie because it's a guy who's looking for a place to stay, just like Reanimator, and Reanimator is one of my fucking favorite movies of all time. So I was like, oh, here we go. This doesn't really get there, but I'll be goddamn if it's not a good time. Like Dan said, Pugs approved gratuitous nudity. Booty meat, titty meat, fantastic. But yeah, it gets anytime.
Yeah, you the have, mom had a nice house.
That's a
yeah, five. That's a five handful. Anytime you have kinder trauma and kinder violence, I am in. And they showed it respectfully in this. And I high five Mr. Oh my God, I have Gordon. A brain fart. Yes.
Stuart Gordon.
Yes. Stuart Gordon is the man. He knows how to shoot all types of things and violence and gross stuff. Bravo. And the rat is awesome. I wish we had more of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a holy shit moment. I remember when I watched it. I was like, wow, they're going there. What'd you think, Todd? And how did this, like, when you first saw it?
I liked it then. I like it now. I think Stuart Gordon is one of those directors. I don't think he's done anything I didn't like. In his whole filmography.
Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace. Yeah. I did luckily get to meet him one time and I still contend this is probably the only reason I like the movie, at the Unlucky Charms premiere, the Charles Band Full Moon feature. But it was just like, you know, it wasn't like open to the public type thing, so it was just like, it was cool. So
that's cool.
I got to meet him and talk to him and tell him how much I loved his work. So
was his wife there, Carol?
She was
nice too.
So
yeah,
but
yeah, I do like that this was not afraid to put kids in peril, which, you know, a lot of horror just won't go there. Especially, you know, mainstream horror. I mean, this was, you know, a pretty huge deal. And I always thought Ezra Godin would have been great if you did at some point want to do Reanimator, but then have him be like the younger version now. And then, you know, Jeffrey Combs, because he looks like him. Double this up with Dagon, guys. If you haven't seen Dagon, get the Vestron Blu-ray. Absolutely, that is another great Lovecraft adaptation from Stuart Gordon. And Kruger, I have to ask, because if you are a Stuart Gordon guy, did you see Edmund? Because that's one that slips under people's radar.
I haven't.
That's a good one.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Very
it's not. I wouldn't put it like in the horror category, though, but it is very fucking good.
But twisted. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and stuck. Yeah. Stuart Gordon was very consistent throughout even his later years, more so than a lot of the other masters of horror. So, yeah. This is one of my favorites. Like I said, a couple little things, you know, in my head, but I highly recommend this one.
I'm looking forward to talking about the next one, because I remember being super excited for this one. Toby Hooper, Robert Englund. Their first time back together since Eaten Alive, so.
And with Homeboy from the Texas Chainsaw remake in there.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I forget about that one.
World's colliding.
I don't hate those. Yeah, they're just not like.
I love Eaten Alive.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
Now, that is another great drive-in movie.
Yes.
All right, so. Getting into the next one, which is Dance of the Dead. Toby Hooper, another sad to say, rest in peace, master of horror. And this was, I keep forgetting, really, this was one of the last things he did. And I still feel like I don't want to count Jin. Oh, God.
Still haven't seen it.
Don't, dude. It's so sad that was his last movie. It's his worst movie in my opinion. All right. So this is probably the one that I was looking forward to talking about the most. I'm stalling a little bit because I don't want to give away a spoiler in this. This synopsis has one, but I'll stop short. All right. So in a post-apocalyptic society, 17-year-old Peggy lives with her mom, who's overprotective since her young daughter, Anna, died. Peggy works at her mom's restaurant when two punk couples come in and turn their world upside down. I'll just leave it at that. And they go to a dark club called the Doom Room, run by the mysterious Robert Englund, the MC. Sorry, dancing around there. That synopsis had some spoilers.
I would hang out in the Doom Room. That just seems like a good time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So, well, who wants to go first on this one?
Todd, why don't you go? You rarely go first.
Okay.
Or not.
He yelled at me. Then he's like, "Dan, why'd you give it to me first?"
Yeah, I kind of wanted to get everyone else first, but it doesn't matter. I wasn't a huge fan when I originally saw it. It has a really cool opening. It's entertaining enough. I think I liked it more this time. I remember the first time having such high hopes was pre-Gin. So,
yes.
And I think I wanted more from something from Robert Englund and Tobe Hooper. And to me, it underperformed. I'm watching it again with that 15 years of annoyed that it wasn't great. I think it's solid, mm-hmm. but well, I will only say this for so far. It wasn't my favorite of tonight's three.
Okay. What say you, Kruger?
I liked it, but it's kind of middle of the road for me. Robert Englund was definitely the highlight. His, you know, performance and his character was really awesome. But it did leave me wanting something more, like maybe more of Robert Englund's character, or yeah. You know, it had some to be desired. And overall, you know, it wasn't bad, but definitely wasn't anything fantastic.
Okay, Pugs, how about you?
I am with Todd. When this was announced, I was all about it. I'm like, this is going to be the best thing ever. We have all these guys, and you know, I was looking forward to it. Didn't quite live up to the hype, but it has aged well for me. I absolutely had a blast with it this time because now, you know, expectations aren't super high. They're low. And then, I liked the story. I liked all the characters. And then the big reveal at the end, I totally forgot what happened, and that caught me off guard this time. I'm like, this fucking bitch. I had a good time with it this time. So if you haven't seen it in a while, I think you're going to have a good time with it. If it's your first time viewing, I don't think you're going to care.
Yeah.
So this one's interesting because this is actually, I would say, probably one of the more disliked episodes. I remember a lot of the reviews for season one.
Billy Corgan did the music for this episode.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Fuck Billy Corgan.
Oh, really? 4K.
Side story. Maybe. So, yeah, this one was not very well liked. I didn't hate it back then. But I will tell you, and maybe it's something being in a post-apocalyptic light situation right now, it played a little different for me because I actually loved it this time. I think it sticks the landing on the ending. I thought that was great, how things kind of ended there at the end in the Doom Room. It was twisted. It was messed up. It had moments that made me think of Return of the Living Dead 3. I think there was actually more going on here than people give it credit for. Robert Englund is... This is a great role for him when he's just sitting there like middle of his orgy and still being this crazy little character. It's also a film I loved. Well, like you said, the Doom Room, I love the set because there's all sorts of like weird shit and so many quick cuts in this. I really enjoyed the atmosphere. I think this one's overlooked. I think if you go back and watch some of these after you listen to our show, I'd be curious, any of our listeners, to get your, particularly on Dance of the Dead, because I got to be honest, I probably watched it a few times over the years, but watching it now, I really like this. And it has some twisted shit. I mean, the dumpster scene.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty hard.
That would be a good day.
There's some
the dumpster diving. Whoa, look at this shit. Hit the jackpot. And they're still kind of moving. This is great.
Oh, you take it to a dark place, Bugs. Yeah, and I was also going to say Anglin channeling Bill Cosby. There's a lot of creepy stuff in this. I think it's overlooked. I loved it watching it again. But there's probably only a couple episodes in both seasons that I would classify as not very good. These three aren't for me. I do. Dance of the Dead is another winner for me. So we are going to be covering the whole series, guys. So we hope you enjoy this. It's fun.
Before we go, out of the three tonight, I got it. Out of the three tonight, which do we all like the most individually?
Well, first off, I vote to beat Dan. So we start acting accordingly. God damn it. I'll go first. Fuck it. I like the Stuart. I like the Stuart Gordon one the most. The
Dreams in the Witch House.
That was definitely my favorite one. I give that one a 4.5 out of 5.
I'll go next. I co-sign that. Okay. Same exact thing. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you. I 100% exactly same as me. My favorite of the bunch.
Dreams in the Witch House still is my favorite, but Dance of the Dead is second for this three. So
I am stoked for the next episode.
I'm probably gonna watch it tonight now.
Jennifer's the next one, right?
Yes.
So that is one of the best reviewed ones, but we'll see. Revisiting it again, maybe not. We'll see. Closing thoughts, guys. These are older. I don't know if you want to do spoilers. I suppose we can.
You want, Kruger?
We're just all over the place tonight.
I know. We did one too many.
That's okay. Well, I did want to point out. Do you guys still have your collector's cards from the original DVDs?
Well, I have them from the convention, but.
I have the mausoleum and the skull. I don't know. I never opened them, so I don't know if they're in there.
No, they were in the individual releases.
Oh, okay.
Is there a good Blu-ray set of this?
There is. For the season one, they have the series split over like 3 or 4 Blu-rays, but that's it. But there are some import ones. I can help point you out the right ones. So
yeah, it was annoying. Two never came out, which was annoying.
Well,
not on Blu-ray. All right, guys. On that note, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Check it out. Check out the eBay stores and our Patreon at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Support us for uncensored, exclusive, original content on there. Facebook, Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Group, and the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. Twitter, Flesh Wound Radio, Instagram, all that good stuff. We are everywhere like a virus. And that's all I've got.
We're all over the place like Dan tonight.
Now make sure you hit up our Patreon so we can get a better host.
Please and thank you.
Yes.
Well, they can't have the hat. That goes with me.
That's fine.
You know what? I'm going to... No. I was going to... Yeah. All right. Good night, y'all.
Wish you Maxwell.
Good night, guys.
Look forward to part 2.